Arrived another fundraiser, spring 2012. Thank you to everyone who pledged. It feels so good to get the support. It's necessary for the station, and it's personally, emotionally enticing to know that people care enough to call up and pledge to WNRN, and especially to the wake-up call. I don't have all the names in front of me, but I will gather that information and make sure to give everyone a personal thank you on air next week. A special thanks to folks at Richmond's 103.1 for their support and listening to WNRN. And to Living Local, support for WNRN comes from Living Local. It's next Saturday, April 7th, from 3 p.m. until 10 p.m. at the Augusta Expo in Fishersville, with music by Hobo Jack, Trees on Fire, and Rhythm and Booze. Plus, they'll have a mechanical bull, sumo suit wrestling, and more. Living Local is a family event aiming to promote local business. Proceeds benefit the Augusta Stanton Waynesboro Habitat for Humanity. For more tickets and information, it's nikdenterprises.com. So speaking of local businesses, that's what we're going to be talking about today. Buy Local and the cash mob that recently took place here in town, and sort of the economics of how that works, the pros and cons. We've got professors here in the studio. We've got folks who represent local businesses, and we have, I believe I was told that you had been called, no, you're telling me not to say that. Somebody in the area is the cash mob queen, but apparently she didn't come to the studio as I thought she might. Let's say hello to everyone. We have Kathy Kilday, who's a key organizer from Charlottesville's cash mob. Good morning.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
We have Barbara Albert.
Good morning.
Barbara is the local business that was supported through the cash mob, Seville Arts.
Correct. Thank you.
And over, stuck in the corner, quietly, she takes notes. I guess that never goes away from a long-term student, Professor Leora Friedberg, economics professor at UVA.
Hello. It's nice to meet you all.
All right. So, again, we're going to jump into the buy local theory, the cash mob that took place last week, and some of the economics that go around that. Now, Kathy Kilday, I mentioned you as a key organizer in the cash mob scene, correct?
That's right. I'm guilty.
Guilty as charged.
Guilty as charged.
All right. I'm going to get you to lean forward just a little bit and find a more comfortable spot with that deliciously tasting microphone that you just can't quite lick, but you need to smell the aroma. All right. So, cash mob, explain that a little bit for those of us who the name sounds familiar but not sure exactly what it's all about.
Well, they're probably thinking about flash mobs, which sort of started off a few years ago where people gathered to do an entirely frivolous activity, like a dance or some sort of routine in a public spot.
And then entertainment.
Entertainment. And just for pure fun, to assemble and then disassemble rather quickly. And the cash mob movement is sort of an offshoot of that, but with a more intent purpose, and that is to get people to spend a little bit of money at one of their local merchants. We use social media to notify people of the business that we'll be mobbing, the time, the gathering place, and all the details. Gather at a certain point, mob a business, spend $20 there, and then go have a drink with your fellow mobsters afterwards.
Did you have to use the go have a drink after to increase the number of people participating?
I don't think so.
All right, so the cash mob is meant to support a local business, right?
Mm-hmm. But right.
Where did you get this idea from? I mean, the flash mob, okay, wherever that came from, but what brought about the concept of the cash mob?
Well, there are a couple of different opinions about where it started, but the person that's primarily credited with starting them is Andrew Santoy in Cleveland, Ohio. And they've been, in these economic times where everybody is struggling, I think communities were looking for a way to tangibly support a local business. And when it first started a few months ago, and they would send out an email to 50 or 100 of their friends and just say, why don't you join me at X, Y, and Z store and, you know, bring $20 with you and just buy something and meet a couple people in your community that you hadn't known before, you know, enjoy some social time with us and kind of celebrate the local business in your community. And as the movement has started to take hold across the country, there are now over 200 Cash Mob organizations across the country and now around the world. And this has all happened within the last 6 to 8 months.
All right, so we have the Cash Mob ongoing. By the way, folks, we are going to be talking about the Cash Mob, which took place last
Saturday.
Last 24th. Saturday. And the buy local theory, not just here in Charlottesville, it's all over the country. Kathy Kilday here, a key organizer from the Charlottesville's Cash Mob. Barbara Albert from Seville Arts, a local artisan, who also one of the beneficiaries of the Cash Mob. And Professor Lior Friedberg, economics at the University of Virginia. Kathy, how do you determine which business to support?
Well, we started out by asking for nominations on our Facebook page, and right away people started responding with ideas of this business or that business who could, you know, really use a boost, or they do great things for our community. We think we'd like to support them. And so we started kind of gathering all of these business names, and we ended up with close to 50 nominations that people in the community had said, you know, this would be a great idea to support. Once we got all the nominations together, we sat down. We have a committee of about six of us that are, you know, looking at some of the possibilities for the Cash Mob. And we started to look at, what business here would have, for us to support, would have the greatest impact in the community. And one of the reasons that we chose Seville Arts was because this is an artist cooperative that has 60 local artisans that make and sell their wares through this one shop. And we thought, wow, this is a way to have a really huge impact in the local community by mobbing this particular store. And we will continue to use the parameters that we set forth. Our number one, it has to be a locally owned business. It has to have items that are available for men and women, kind of all ages appeal. They have to have a fair number of items that are lower priced, maybe under $20, so that people can go in and easily support this this business. So Seville Arts met all of those criteria, and when we mentioned it to them, they embraced it wholeheartedly. They were so excited about it. So that's how we selected our first mob location.
Barbara Albert,
yeah.
A potter.
Yeah.
Vice President of Membership at Seville Arts, correct?
Yes, uh-huh.
So when the Cash Mob comes to you, I hear Kathy talking about what your reaction is, but talk about it from the inside.
Well, first of all, we had a little advance notice because it was very smart that they let us know a week in advance, very quietly and privately and sworn to the utmost secrecy, that we could increase our staff, which was so helpful for that particular opportunity. And we took that exact action, and I was notified, only half a dozen of us, and we knew we were going in to help out and hoped, you know, that it would be spectacular, and it was. It was wonderful.
Because we kept it a very closely guarded secret.
Why is that?
We didn't want to leak the destination to anyone, you know.
Wouldn't you want the media there? Wouldn't you want other people to come by and see the scene?
Yes, but the whole idea is that it is a big surprise. The people coming don't even know till 5 p.m.
How many people do you normally have scheduled?
Oh, two. And we put on an extra two, and we had three more just...
And didn't they ask? What in the world? Why are you asking me to work Saturday?
No, we knew. We were very select in who we chose to share the information with, and it was very much close to the chest. Don't let this word get out.
We did hear some grumbling from people about, you know, why all the secrecy? And there actually was, a good bit of method to that madness. Number one, this is something that's driven very powerfully by social media. And by encouraging people to follow along our Facebook and our Twitter feeds, you know, that not only keys them in as a follower for this event, but it also keeps them in line for future events that we hope to hold as well. So if we gave too much information out right away, we could potentially lose those followers. The other piece of it is we didn't want to give anybody an opportunity to talk themselves out of coming. You know, we wanted people to be all in for this. And if you had announced it too far in advance, they might have said, well, now I know where it is. I'll just go next week.
Exactly.
Or you know, I don't really think I want to go there. You know, whatever.
I don't need any arts.
I don't need anything artsy, you know. And we found that probably two-thirds of the people that mobbed last Saturday had never been in the shop before. And that was one of the key reasons that we wanted to get them out and to kind of surprise them with the location.
Professor Friedberg, this is Professor Lior Friedberg from the Economics Department at UVA. The buy local theory, is that everything that people always say, you know, you buy local, you keep more money in the area, and there are all these wonderful platitudes, is that a good word for this? There are all these wonderful aspects that go towards the buy local theory. And obviously that's where the cash mob is coming from, and that's what Sevo Arts is thankful for. Is that true in the world of economics?
Well, I feel a little torn here because I think I've been brought in to sort of rain on the parade a little. And
you are welcome to say that is all true and that the world of economics would only switch if people would allow us to. What I want is I want a more distant approach.
Right.
I think that the people of Charlottesville would love to help their neighbor in any and every way possible, however their purse or wallet would allow. And what I'm asking you to do, even if it is raining a little bit, as I'm asking the listeners to understand this as well, is sometimes you need the person up on the deck to look down in the yard to see the big picture.
Well, so free disclosure here, I do like to buy local because it makes me feel good. And I think that's the main thing that the movement has going for it is that, you know, we do like to see our neighbors and support what they're doing. And so I view it as kind of a luxury good. And in the economic sense of the word, that doesn't just mean yachts and Bentleys, but it means something that when my income goes up, I'd like to spend more on some types of goods. And so I view spending locally as a luxury good. Most of the local spending movement, I think often leads you to spend more to pay a higher price for something than you would if you were going to Best Buy or Walmart or some national chain where they can produce things more cheaply. And in this case with the flash mob, I think they are suggesting that you buy things you weren't even considering buying. So that's going a step farther. But I think if this were all carried to an extreme, I think we'd get to some logical inconsistencies. We'd all be paying more for things that were produced in a less productive way. Regional and international trade would diminish, and we would no longer be able to take advantage of economies of scale from concentrating production in certain places. Prices would go up for people who can't afford it, as opposed to those of us who have the luxury of spending more on things. And some of the concerns about transportation costs and using extra fuel, I think, also lead to some logical inconsistencies. You use less fuel to grow some products in Florida and transport them here than to grow them here. And if everyone had a big garden, then we'd all have to live farther apart and spend more on drive more and so on. So,
but is it true, again, we are talking about buy local, last week's cash mob, this is Professor Lior Friedberg talking from UVA's economics department, draining on our parade of buy local. But is it true that when you spend your $20 on a local vendor, that more of that $20 stays in the area and is, I invent words every hour, repercussed throughout the area, but the local business then spends it on someone else who's locally based, who spends it on someone else who's locally based, who pays their employee who's locally based, et cetera, et cetera. Is that a true theory?
I think that we'd need data to examine how often a local vendor is getting all of their inputs locally, and are they using more local labor than a national merchant would use to sell something locally. I actually looked up some academic studies about Walmart yesterday, for instance, and when Walmart stores open, employment at the Walmart increases a lot, employment at other local stores declines, but by less, and employment at local wholesalers declines, but by less. So there is actually an overall employment gain locally when a Walmart opens and prices go down. So I think it's an empirical question, and it's probably a little bit case by case. I know there's a push for UVA to buy more locally sourced procurement when they're making their procurement decisions instead of buying from the rest of the state or out of state. But of course, then if UVA has to spend more to do that, then they might hire less locally. So I think you'd have to really look at the numbers carefully to figure that out.
That's Professor Leora Friedberg here. We also have Barbara Albert and Kathy Kilday talking about the buy local, the recent cash mob. Kathy, something that Professor Friedberg brought up immediately jumps to mind. Why did the cash mob, is that the proper way? Cash mob, is that how I'm referring to,
yes,
to the group?
Uh-huh.
Why did the cash mob scene choose a luxury item rather than an essential item by a local business? Couldn't you have chosen going to Reed's Grocery Store, a local grocer downtown? Couldn't you have chosen a local vendor for clothing?
We absolutely could have. And future mobs, you know, will move things around a bit. But just because this is an artist collective doesn't mean that there aren't some necessities there as well. You know, we have there are so many items for sale in that shop that I could only begin to describe how many things are there. But one of the things that that we heard over and over again was, you know, this is this season coming up with Mother's Day, Father's Day, graduations, weddings. You know, there are all kinds of occasions that people will typically purchase a gift for. And if they didn't purchase a gift that day, you know, maybe they'll come back into the shop a little later, closer to the event, and find something locally sourced right there at the shop. I tend to consider a $20 purchase on something, quote, luxurious or as a luxury item very different from something that I'm going to spend $300 or $400 on. That's a real luxury. But if, you know, just a small item to purchase to support a local artist, I think is a very different. I hesitate to use the word luxury in that,
yes,
with that dollar amount.
I had the word non-essential down.
Non-essential,
and sitting
okay
there going, you know, last night going, what is the word? What is the word? In economics, it is essential or luxury, correct?
Yeah, we call it a luxury.
And that's
luxury.
Why I guess we could use a different word choice, and we can say essential versus non-essential, but it's food, shelter, clothing, or luxury.
And one of the first cash mobs that took place was in a hardware store, a century-old family-owned business in, I believe that one was in Cleveland. And anybody can walk into a hardware store and find something that you need. You know, that's kind of a given. It was much more fun to shop at Seville Arts.
And Barbara, I can see you wanting to speak up,
yes,
when we got to the word luxury.
Yes,
so go ahead.
Because I think we should introduce the word practical. And a lot of our items are very practical. I'm thinking of cutting boards for the kitchen, soaps for your hand. Many of our items are not purely luxuries, but they're practical items you use every day and would love to give to your hostess when you're visiting the area or when you leave and want to represent our area to the rest of the world and have a photo of the wonderful buildings we have in Charlottesville, for instance. These are all items we offer, and we give personal treatment from our very own artists. We populate the shop our artists are your sales vendors. And we give advice and we give mentorship to people who come in and say, oh, I'd love to do that. How do I get started? And we also give information like, well, I get my lamp parts from this outfit, and we share that. So we really we provide more to the community than just a product, ourselves. And this we're very proud of.
Point.
And we want to say thank you, because this was a wonderful opportunity for us to make new friends.
And just so people know, Seville Arts, for those who didn't participate and those who are listening today about the Buy Local and the Cash Mob, and they've heard us talk about Seville Arts is where?
It's on the downtown mall at 118 East Main. It's across from the Wachovia, now Wells Fargo Bank, and beautifully located, central to parking and all the other wonderful things that bring you downtown.
I have purchased things there, and I think it's a lovely store, too.
I can see that Professor Friedberg is going,
the clouds
I do
are
not,
parting.
I do not want to be, do not want to be the rain. Please don't make me be the rain too much. And again, for those who are listening, our guest today, Kathy Kilday, Barbara Albert, Professor Leora Friedberg here from the UVA Economics Department. And the goal was to talk about Buy Local, why the cash mob did what it did, its success. We're going to get into that in just a moment, the success, things that they might change for the next time around. Barbara Albert representing a business that was supported by this, and Professor Friedberg, who also buys local, but with the academic understanding of some of the cons that might be able to go into that as well, and some of the realities that go into on the buy local scene. 11:21 here on the Wake Up Call. Markets of Tiger Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. It's partly sunny this afternoon, highs in the mid-60s, mostly cloudy with a 50% chance of showers tonight, lows in the low 40s, a little warmer in the Richmond area. Mostly sunny and windy tomorrow, highs in the upper 60s. Right now it's cloudy throughout the listening area, 58 in the valley, 53 in Lynchburg, 54 in Richmond, and 50 here in Charlottesville.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And support today also coming from L. Oppelman's, their Central Virginia's complete music headquarters, continuously operated since 1890. At 909 Main Street in downtown Lynchburg. L. Oppelman's Music Department, now featuring acoustic guitars and banjos, mandolins and violins, as well as electric guitar packages and complete drum sets. L. Oppelman, 909 Main Street in Lynchburg, and at loppelman.com. All right, back to our guests today, Kathy Kilday, Professor Leora Friedberg, and Barbara Albert. Barbara, as a representative of the business, I think one of the reasons that I heard from Kathy Kilday about why Seville Arts was selected was that it wasn't just one business. It wasn't a family business. It was 60 businesses coming together in one building.
We are 60 different artists, and we work our store cooperatively and share equally. We're very blessed that we have an understanding landlord that trusted us with a prime real estate location in the best part of town. We operate from a full membership decision basis and a wonderfully compatible group. And we're all very grateful to have this opportunity to be in a store. Many of us have sold independently in other venues, and we really appreciate our location.
Professor Friedberg, are there certain businesses that wouldn't work under the buy local scene? Banking,
fuel, things like that. Yeah, I think we have grown as a national economy because we have taken advantage of specialization, economies of scale, comparative advantage. And so all those terms often come from the international trade area where we talk about why countries trade, and comparative advantage is the key driver that it can be that you take advantage of what you can do locally better and produce extra of some items, more than you need in some places, and send those to other places. With international trade, of course, that happens across borders, but it happens within nations too. And the United States is, with its huge landmass and great natural resources has been able to take advantage of that on a very large scale. And so we don't grow oranges here. They grow in Florida, but there are also things that even if we could grow them here or produce them here, they would not be produced as efficiently. And so we can all be better off and pay lower prices when we can buy those things when they're produced at the lowest cost.
But in what way have we overdone the efficiency aspect? Because, and again, I don't live in Florida, but even though Florida can grow oranges that Virginia could not do efficiently, do people in Florida pay a ridiculously lower price for oranges than we do in Virginia? Have we overdone the trade factor rather than the focus on buy local?
Well, I don't think it's about the prices you pay for oranges in Florida. Of course, they're tied to the national market, so it wouldn't make sense for a Florida farmer to sell much cheaper to a Florida consumer. That's the same fallacy behind this idea that if we produce more oil in the U.S., our price will go down and will not be tied to the world market. We are tied to the world markets. I don't think it's about paying less because something is produced nearby that gives you an inherent advantage. I think some of the concerns people have about monoculture, pesticide use in large-scale agriculture, transportation costs, some of those things I think come from real concerns about not regulating environmental harms or not pricing gasoline correctly. I think if people who want to buy local to use less gasoline also advocate for higher gasoline taxes to more efficiently price distant goods relative to local goods, then that can actually have the effect that they're hoping for with their local purchases as well.
Again, Professor Leora Friedberg, Barbara Albert, Kathy Kilday. Kathy, where do you sort of set the boundary for buying local? I was always, at some point in the last few years, I walked into a local grocer who was, you know, sort of identifying the local produce that you could buy. And if you read the smaller print on the sign, it was like within 240 miles. And I thought, God, that's a hell of a drive to be qualified as local. I see the phones ringing. I should have given that number out earlier, 979-0919-1877-WNRN-ROCKS. But where do you define the local boundary?
Well, I like bananas, olive oil, chocolate, coffee. So I'm not giving up any of those things. So I'm still participating in the worldwide economy. But one of the things that, as a former caterer, we used to purchase produce. And when I asked about local produce, she said, well, what do you mean when you say local? I said, well, you know, I want it maybe from within 50 or 100 miles around here. And she said, well, you know, for some people, local means north of the equator. And that just,
exactly.
I just broke my heart. And so I think for me, it becomes truth in advertising. You know, I don't, that the word local has been bounced around so much and there's no real descriptor for it. It means different things to different people. So as long as things are advertised with a point of origin, or correctly labeled, I'll buy bananas. I know that they're not grown in this country, but that's okay. I still want to have bananas. And we're very spoiled consumers, and I'm one of them. And I appreciate the availability and the relative inexpensive availability of some of these products that come from all points around the globe.
What else happened on, because the 24th was Charlottesville's
It was
cash
national,
mob day,
international,
but it was a
cash
national
mob day.
So, what are some of the other events that happened? Share some of that with us.
Oh, there were over 200 separate events happening more or less simultaneously. They were at different times in their own communities, but on Cash Mob Day, they were happening all over the globe, and this movement had sort of taken hold in early January. Around the country. And when we first signed on to be a part of it, we thought, well, maybe we'll do one in the first part of April. And before we knew it, they had declared a national cash mob day. And it's like, well, that tears it right there. We have got to have our first event on national cash mob day. And, Charlottesville City Council even, passed a resolution declaring it so. So it was official.
So, and people can go to CashMobSeaville.com.
Well, and of course, you can see the advantages for the city council for promoting it, because then they get local tax revenue. So I'm not saying that that's, you know, some irrational
action. That helps
action.
The buy local scene right there. Barbara Albert. Barbara is a potter, a member of Seaville Arts, which was the business that benefited. When I did my homework on the Seaville spot, caller, hang tight for just a second. I saw that one of the issues that the Cash Mob had to put together was they had to have a compelling story. Share with me a compelling story of one or two people as members of Seaville Arts.
Well, we really are not very compelling, but I really think it's time now to tell you that we had a partner in this, and that was this Women for Shelter for Help,
Shelter
and,
for
Emergency.
Help and Emergency.
And they came along as well, had a representative, and talked about their endeavors in the community, and I'm sure that was the first time many of us met some of the people standing in that organization, and we shared some of the financial gain with that organization, so they were our partner. I think they were our compelling voice.
You have 60 compelling stories in that the store.
Yes.
And many of these artists have seen very, very lean days, and they support their families with the art that they're producing. And the mention about the Shelter for Help and Emergency, we thought it would be a wonderful idea to kind of compound the goodwill with this program by every time we do a mob, naming a nonprofit partner to kind of share in the warm, fuzzy feeling.
How do they do that? I mean, do they get part of the proceeds, or are they just mentioned in all the
mentioned in all of the advertisement ahead of time. But we also the shelter, because they're advocates against domestic violence in our community, and they're also service providers. So they have some really hard needs, and like every nonprofit, they're stretching a dollar as far as they can. So for this event, we encourage people to bring donations of toiletry items for their shelter participants to use. They accepted cash donations. We also asked people to donate their time, if they were interested in being a volunteer with the organization.
11:32 on the wake-up call. Let me thank Dixon Disposal for their support today. When Dixon picks up your trash, they sort and separate it for recycling. Dixon also offers single-stream recycling during regular pickup. You can help the planet stay green with curbside service from Dixon Disposal at your home or business. For more information, it's DixonDisposal.com or 434-978-2111. Again, we are talking about buy local. How that works is a theory. Kathy Kilday is here, a key organizer from Charlottesville's Cash Mob from last weekend. Barbara Albert, representing Seaville Arts as the business that was chosen as for the Cash Mob scene. Professor Leora Friedberg here helping me understand the academics of the buy local scene. And now we have a caller. John, you with us? Did you hang tight, John? No. All right. We'll call back. I have part of his question here, John, if I don't represent it properly. Call back and talk to Brett. John had a question about an employment study, local impact of paying local. Professor Friedberg, does that make any...
I'm not aware of that. I looked for kind of national studies yesterday when I was doing a little research on this. I'm sure there are some case studies of local vendors, and I'm sure you could find case studies that support either point of view, because that's sort of the nature of case studies.
But are you aware, not a particular case study, but from your research, and I see the phone ringing. Let me see if it's John. John, are you with me?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, fire away with your question.
Yes, when there was some talk earlier about some of the studies that had been looked at as far as a large box store like a Walmart coming in, and overall there was some net positive employment gain, I was curious as to how long those studies looked out. and went, because what it would appear to me is that a lot of the local businesses that would be affected, that might lose some employees but not initially go out of business, they would be put on in a much leaner operating position. And say in this recent downturn, they would have very little ability to downsize even further, and so therefore they might go out of business much easier, whereas a Walmart with many more employees could have the ability to downsize easier and a lower amount of sales and still stay in business. So I was wondering how far out those studies looked. The other thing that I wanted to mention was what's done with the net profit from a local company versus a large multinational company, in the sense that I think there's a much larger percentage of the net profit that would stay with owners of local businesses, and even though they may be more well off financially, I think they would give a larger percentage of their net profits to help the community, whether that's through a faith-based organization or other things. And I was wondering if any studies had been done on that, as far as, you know, the for-profit aspect, where that actually ends up, spread somewhere else to some of the corporation's interests, or whether it stays in the community.
All right, John, thanks for the call, man.
Okay.
Well, John, I think your first question is very important, and the study I looked at was very concerned with the issue of the short term versus the long term, and I think in that case they defined the long term as 5 years out. And as you expected, they found that the employment effects on other local businesses were more negative in the long term. That's true, but that the Walmart gain was still bigger overall. So they did look at that short-term versus long-term issue. The issue of local ownership versus ownership of these multinational corporations, I think, is interesting. It's hard to think. As an empirical economist, I'm always thinking about, well, what data could I use to answer that question? I think there is no data on comparing the spending decisions of local owners versus, say, stockholders. Of course, you know, we may all own shares in some of the large corporations and spend some of the profits we get through dividends or capital gains locally as well. If someone from a big box store was here, I think they would say something like, well, we try to support local organizations as well. I can't document that personally, but I think that's an interesting question. I think it would be hard to figure out the real answer about it.
Exclamations that's always made is the big box store comes in, they drop their prices low enough to run their local competition out of town, and then they raise their prices back up. So the short-term effect on the community may be better, but the long-term effect is horrible.
I think the big box stores have a lot of competition with each other, I think that long run effect is going to be limited by how much they're also competing pretty strenuously with each other. So if the Walmart is raising its prices too much, then that's going to bring in the Best Buy and the Kmart and so on.
11:38 here on the Wake Up Call, talking about Buy Local, the recent cash mob that took place last weekend. Barbara Albert from Seville Arts, the beneficiary of the cash mob, Professor Lior Friedberg, UVA Economics Department, Kathy Kilday, a key organizer in the cash mob. Kathy and Barbara, how successful was the event? And I don't mean, gosh, we're happy because we made extra money. I mean, your expectations, I guess I mean both of that. I'm sure everything, any $20 that somebody spent that might not have is a success, but your expectations as well.
Well, we were going into this hoping that we could get maybe 50 people to show up for our first mob event. And we had over 75 people come for that first event. So we, in our mind, that was a big success. The impact to the store is going to be a little tough to measure, because they're going to be continuing to see benefit from it on down the road, from people, new awareness for the store, some better publicity for the store, and going forward, who knows how that will pan out for them. But
Kathy's correct that we are benefiting tremendously from the wider exposure in the community, as well as this radio program. We've been given many highlights in both news and other radio event. So we've made the headlines in a way we've never done before. This makes us much better known to the Charlottesville community, plus our location and the nature of our business. So we're very, very, very over the top about this. This was right out of the blue for us.
We did have a little financial tally from the day. In an hour's time, that's how long the mob was really there. It was about an hour. Was over $1,700, and that is maybe the equivalent of a weekend.
Yeah, that would be a couple of really good days in the store. Yeah. We're very happy to say that. Plus, people spent more than $20. We were very impressed.
They couldn't decide. Once they got in the door, they were like, "Oh, I see so many things I love."
So the per capita purchase was in excess of $20, mm-hmm. and that was a wonderful finding and very delightful too. So it was a big success.
I want to go back for just a minute to the caller just a moment ago and asking about how local resource, how money stays in the community. And I wish I could cite the exact studies. I didn't bring them with me today. But in some of the research we've done for along with Cash Mob, we found a couple of studies that will give varying percentages, but they're pretty uniform in that for every dollar that you spend in a locally owned business, anywhere from 68 to 83% of that dollar stays right here in the local economy. It's recirculated. If you spend that same dollar at a big box store, that percentage drops to anywhere from 40 to 50%. So while the percentage points may be arguable, I think they're pretty consistent in the findings that they stay the money stays locally.
All right, I'll save my retort to that, Professor?
Yes, I just have one quick comment as putting my cynical economist hat on again. I think
I'm so sorry.
You're making me do it. To measure the full monetary benefits of the cash mob, you'd also want to subtract the purchases that they didn't make at other places as a consequence of concentrating their purchases at one place. I think that's a difficult thing to figure out, but that would be part of the calculus.
11:42 on the Wake Up Call.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by the Markins and Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
Oh, a month after citizens were arrested on the steps of Richmond Capitol during peaceful protests, some lawmakers demand to know if protesters were out of line or were First Amendment rights trampled by the state police SWAT team. Both Charlottesville and Albemarle County are projecting double-digit increases in the meals tax revenue. More folks eating out, a sign of the economy turning around. And on World Water Day, a local group's lawsuit challenges the area dam pipeline plan. The Hook, fresh and new every Thursday. And let me thank Blue Ridge Graphics for their support for WNRN. You can find Blue Ridge Graphics at Meade Avenue and East High Street in Charlottesville, providing custom t-shirts and sportswear, plus promotional items for schools, organizations, and businesses. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746, online, brgtshirts.com. And Blue Ridge Mountain Sports supports us as well. They present the Spring Gear Swap Saturday and Sunday, next weekend, April 7th and 8th. You can sell your used gear to earn credit toward new purchases and find offers on gently used gear and apparel. Blue Ridge Mountain Sports is at Barracks Road in Charlottesville, 3 locations in Richmond. For more store information, it's brms.com. Back to our topic today about buy local and last week's cash mob. Professor Leora Friedberg, UVA Economics Department, Kathy Kilday, key organizer from the Charlottesville cash mob, and Barbara Albert, representing Seville Arts, who was the business.
Victim.
The victim?
The target.
That always bothers me. You say cash mob. Mob. It always sounds awful. Why would you want a mob of anything? People, evil people, good people.
We were a friendly mob.
And then you also went out and had a drink afterwards. So that business
benefited as well. We did. We got even friendlier.
As well. All right, 1144. I want to toss this out there again, back to the evil economics scene that I keep running into, which is if the Charlottesville Albemarle people purchase, tend to focus on the buy local, is there more money staying here than might be, you know, and so does Stanton Waynesboro. Are we gaining or losing money in the end? People coming in because there's tourism and all these other businesses that you would think that Charlottesville Albemarle may lose if everyone within their boundary buys local.
I think if we all contracted to our local economies instead of interacting across the whole nation as one economy, then yes, I think probably Charlottesville Albemarle loses out relative to what we would get otherwise because we wouldn't have all the other dollars coming in. So that's another way in which if this all affected everyone's decisions on a grand scale, I think you could get unpleasant outcomes that you weren't expecting from it.
Kathy, so you did this last weekend. Is this meant to be a monthly issue,
about
quarterly? When will you? Can people go online now and offer up their nominations?
We have a nominations page on our website at cashmobseville.com where we encourage people to both either nominate a business or a nonprofit to be the target of the next mob. We don't have a specific date set yet. We're all sort of kind of catching our breath from last weekend because it was a pretty busy weekend. And we're also kind of looking at the calendar for anything, you know, big events that are happening in town so that we don't want to conflict with those. But we're looking to do them once a month.
That would be a really wonderful thing to look forward to.
Barbara, as representative of the business that benefited, are there where would you draw the line on types of businesses? Is it okay for a locally owned franchise to be put in the box to have we can consider them a nomination? Or does a locally owned franchise not acceptable in your mind?
It's really not my place to say, but I would prefer that these be small businesses that are really locally owned, that have specialty interests perhaps, not big box or franchise, because those dollars go out from the cash register to corporate, and that's what we would like to avoid. We'd like to see it go to the rent and the other incidental expenses of running that business. So I would, speaking for myself, and I'm sure the rest of our membership, we would rather not a franchise.
And we would welcome. This is not a really strongly structured organization. We're a group of people that thought this would be a good idea, and we welcome people who are interested in maybe helping us make those decisions or implement plans to get in touch with us. And there's always room for more to be a part of this process. And the more heads we put together, I think the better we'll make it.
What were some of the, you know, as you sit down and have your beer afterwards, sort of toast your day, your week has now gone by. Have you talked about things that you wish you'd done differently and part of the plan for the next event you would do differently?
I think our next event, we're going to really try to focus on a business that is really in need of a cash infusion. And you can argue that there are a lot of businesses around town that fall in that category, but a number of businesses came to our attention in the first round that they're really struggling, and for various reasons. While this is not intended to be to salvage a failing business plan by any means, there are some businesses in town and some situations that have just been they really speak out that you know, boy, if they could just kind of get over this hump, then they'd be set. So I think we're going to be focusing more on one of those for our next election.
Now, on the positive side, I can give an example of where that could really make sense. I think in the last few years, a lot of businesses have seen cuts in their credit from banks, and a lot of those cuts are not it's not clear that they're fully economically justified, but the banks are kind of nervous about their balance sheets, but seem to be cutting off some businesses that have the potential to be profitable, but may need that credit to smooth over problems, and so some kind of local, effort to deal with that could, help could make everyone better off.
Or community banks. What's the proper phrase that I'm looking for?
Locally owned banks.
Well, the ones that you get by. See, this is when I'm so focused on my next question, and then this pops up, and I can't remember what in the hell I'm talking about. Credit union. Mm-hmm. How does a credit union versus a bank fall into the buy local scene?
Well, I think so. A credit union is operated locally, and I believe that it doesn't have the same ownership structure. So I think the people with the deposits are in some sense the owners of the credit union. So I think I'm not from the buy local movement, but that sounds like a more sort of locally owned thing. We know that credit unions have higher costs for when they lend to businesses. Often they don't operate as an efficient scale and don't have access to national credit markets in the same way. So I think you get some of the trade-offs that perhaps I've been highlighting in terms of local businesses, which may keep more money in the community but not operate as efficiently versus nationally owned businesses.
So the cash mob could choose that in one of their next adventures to get everyone to pull all their money from one of our big national banks and go put it in the credit union.
Not likely.
All right. This question, again, we are talking with Kathy Kilday, Barbara Albert, and Professor Leora Friedberg. To each of you is, and we'll start with Kathy, because one of the recommendations, I don't know how strongly it was done, is to spend your $20 in cash. It is a cash mob,
right?
Not in credit. Why?
Well, this kind of brings out Professor's last point about banks and small businesses. With debit and credit cards, as consumers, a lot of times we lose track of the fact that somebody pays for that privilege or that the cost of that transaction. And it's not the consumer. It's the merchant. And big box stores are able to use their huge buying power and their huge leverage to get much, much better deals on those transactions so that they have less of an impact on their bottom line. With a small retailer, they end up paying higher percentages or a higher percentage of their profit goes out the door to the bank, to the national bank or whatever the bank they're dealing with, takes that kind of off the top. So we encourage people to use cash for these transactions so that the merchant that we're targeting gets the full impact of that purchase price and doesn't get a bunch of it kind of sucked off to the bank.
Barbara, you're nodding your head.
That's absolutely correct, and thank you. That is true. Whoa. And very few people know it, that the actual merchant pays for that bank card.
Mm-hmm. How did the expected influx of cash affect Seville Arts in any way?
Well, we put a special thing in, which was we had a cash box. We had a way of buying only with your cash that we processed after the time on the register. And then the register we devoted to purchases that had to be done with bank card mm-hmm. assistance. So we broke our purchases down for that hour, and that gave us more fast handling, because we had a line of 20, 30 people, and we didn't want everyone to stand there for another 10 minutes. So we broke our purchases in two, and we honored the cash that was presented independently.
Well, I do like that example from Kathy. She also brought it up earlier of simply providing more information about these different aspects of the transaction. For me, if it's equivalent to paying credit card or cash, and if I now know that if I pay by credit card, then some of the money is going to go to the credit card company instead of going to the vendor. Then I can change my decision costlessly, and that's win-win.
There's two sides to that, because a lot of times if you don't, you don't have the cash in your pocket, but you see that something you want to buy, and you love the flexibility of being able to produce your debit or credit card to make that purchase, and certainly the vendor loves it, the merchant loves it. But one of the things that changed with the overhaul of the big banking agreements laws requirements over last fall in the Durbin Amendment, the Durbin Amendment removed the percentage transaction fee for merchants and put it as a flat fee. Well, think about it. If you use your debit card to buy a bottle of soda at the convenience store, if you were used to paying a small percentage of that, or the merchant was used to paying a small percentage of that to the bank, it was a very small amount. But if they've now gone to a flat fee of, say, 40 cents, well, there goes their profit for that individual item. So it becomes really, really important on the small ticket items, especially to count on a cash transaction.
11:55 here on the Wake Up Call. This is WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS FM Sweetbriar, Amherst, and Lynchburg. Professor and Kathy, I think we'll go one to then the other. The cash mob versus buying local. It seems that you can put them, not necessarily blend them together, but you could pull them apart, because the cash mob allows you to focus on one business on however frequently, whether it's one day a week or one day a month, et cetera, versus the buy local, which allows you to buy at any business, to use your credit card, et cetera. Is one or the other better for the Charlottesville, Albemarle, or whatever your regional area?
I think we have to pull apart some of these issues, like you've been saying. I think the issue of cash versus credit card use is different than buying from a locally owned business versus a local franchise versus a big box store. I think those are each different decisions that have real effects. And that's where I have to admit it does get a little tiring as a consumer to think through every aspect of it. So, but that's where an organization, people like Kathy are involved with can provide us some helpful information, some rules of thumb to think about those things.
And Kathy, are there, like, I know that, and I'm assuming it's still out there, there used to be for the state of Virginia, if your business made something sort of artisan-ish, you could put that little sticker on your store window or on your product.
Virginia's Finest.
Virginia's Finest, yes. It had a little check mark on it to identify as it was a Virginia business. Is there some method of doing such for the buy local scene, to identify the local business who meets some standard or parameter or percentage of money staying here in town?
Not that I'm aware of.
No, it's a good idea. Mm-hmm. And maybe
thank you. The hour was good for something. Thank you. But at this point, you're not aware of that.
I'm not aware of any other than Virginia's Finest. There are also Virginia, through the Department of Agriculture, has a Virginia Grown designation. The Virginia's Finest is for manufactured products. Virginia Grown means that they're obviously grown within the Commonwealth. So those two designations are the only ones that I'm familiar with.
All right, 11:58. Just another minute or two here with our guest today, Barbara Albert, Professor Leora Friedberg, Kathy Kilday. Let me thank The Backyard for their support at WNRN, UVA Corner's Culinary Secret. At the end of Elliewood Avenue, The Backyard has a seasonal menu open for lunch and dinner, daily specials, and a rotating list of beers on tap. The Backyard is now open on Sundays, serving brunch and then a pub food menu until close. You can call ahead for takeout at 434-202-8215. You can also find The Backyard on Facebook. All right, ladies, just to finish up the hour, the goals for the cash mob have been laid out. The business would seemingly accept any sort of effort that way, and the economics work that way in some manners, just not in all. Do you envision this as being some sort of fad, like so many things, that they burn themselves out after a year or two, and then we move on? Kathy?
That's entirely possible, that, you know, the excitement of this movement will wear off. And that's okay, because the movement is just going to be perpetuated by whoever supports it within the community. But if nothing else, calling attention to local businesses that really create the woven fabric of our community so that they really display what's unique and special about our area, and honoring them and supporting them, or at least just calling attention to the fact that if we don't shop there, they're going to start disappearing and it's all going to look like the same strip mall across the country.
Professor?
I see it staying on as a small scale because, as I admitted, you know, many of us enjoy interacting with local vendors and local producers, and so I don't see, I think my enjoyment will continue. I don't see it getting much broader because I have the luxury of being able to afford doing that, and not everybody does.
And Barbara?
We would love to see it continue, but of course, it's the beauty of it is it's spontaneous, lively, and totally from the heart of the people. So we accept whatever
here.
Comes.
All right. Thank all three of you for coming in today. I appreciate it. Thanks.
Thank you
for those of you who are listening. Last Temps Purdue with Drew Thompson up next.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. And by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon gasoline, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@AOL.com or at wakeupcall@WNRN.org. The wake-up call is produced by Sean McCord. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for the Wake Up Call, only on WNRN.